First scripture reading is from the book of Mark, chapter 12, verses 28 through 31. One of the teachers of the law came and heard Jesus debating with the Sadducees. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," Jesus answered, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these."
So, turning to Matthew 25 and verse 34. "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'"
Now we'll welcome Louise Matthews to speak with us. Thank you, Louise.
Good morning. As a brief background before I begin, I want to introduce my husband, Lawrence. He's originally from West Liberty, Ohio, grew up in a family of nine, and attended Oak Grove Mennonite Church. And I am from a family with 12 children who grew up in Wellsville, New York. My parents were born and raised in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and then moved to New York State, very close to the Pennsylvania border, to help plant some little Mennonite churches in empty congregational churches that were in the countryside. So it feels like there's a little bit of extra feedback here. Is that me or the system? So within about a 60-mile radius, there are five little Mennonite churches in that area of New York and Pennsylvania. And so Lawrence and I both came from old Mennonite backgrounds, met at Heston College in Kansas, moved to Bluffton, Ohio to attend and finish our education at Bluffton, and except for a very short period of time between graduation and our jobs, we have been in Bluffton most of our lives, so that is where we call home. We both currently work at the Bluffton University, and my role is as the director of the Lion and Lamb Peace Art Center. So as I was pondering what I would say to you ever since I got the contact from Rachel back in November, I have been kind of blending a combination of things. So this morning's message to you is a blended message. It comes in the form of my faith foundation and from scripture, my understanding of peace and how I present it in programs at the Lion and Lamb Peace Art Center, and how my faith in practice is informed by both of those things. So if you know anything about a blender, when you put things in, what comes out is just this muddled mass that is indistinguishable from the original pieces. And that perhaps is a good way of saying what I have to share with you this morning. Please hear my words and my intent with an open mind. I'm not here to convince you to agree with me. Our views may intersect, they may diverge, but what I have to share this morning is my current understanding of what it means for me to live faithfully to my commitment to Jesus Christ and to my work at the Lion and Lamb Peace Art Center. My title, The Lion and Lamb, Jesus and Me, is a combination of all of those. A scriptural foundation, Lion and Lamb programs, and this piece of me evolving in my faith and practice. I feel compelled to mention this weekend, as nearing the end of the political impeachment process, I could easily be disheartened with the outcome, seemingly setting a precedent for attitudes and behaviors that do not reflect truth, integrity, and a high regard for all humanity. There is some consolation, though, in knowing others have noticed and are concerned even before this situation came to light, as reflected in these words by Richard Rohr, a spiritual writer, Franciscan friar, and the director of the Center for Action and Contemplation. And these are his words. Christianity is a lifestyle, a way of being in the world that is simple, nonviolent, shared, and loving. However, we made it into an established religion and all that goes with that, and avoided the lifestyle change itself. One could be warlike, greedy, racist, selfish, and vain in most of Christian history, and still believe that Jesus is one's personal Lord and Savior. The world has no time for such silliness anymore. The suffering on earth is too great. According to Rohr, Jesus' non-negotiables begin with forgiveness and loving enemies. Though he's Catholic, he mentions Mennonites and Amish as some of the few who actually take Jesus' words of nonviolence as a mandate for our living. His reflections reinforce the story that I shared in Sunday school class this morning, for those of you who were there, recognizing that it isn't one way or the other, but it is an alternate way of living, a different story. When I read reflections like this, sometimes I'm hesitant to even call myself a Christian. I want to separate myself from those who do that and just kind of do my thing. And it doesn't have to match up with others, because it feels like sometimes we're on a whole different spectrum. I find my work at the center to be in direct contrast to the silliness and suffering that Rohr mentions in his quote. And I've selected the two passages that were read this morning as two of the places where we can find Jesus' focus on love. And not for the people that come easiest for us to love either, as you might notice. In the first one, he mentions, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. In Matthew, he talks about loving the least of these, which means the people who are generally on the margins, the people that are a little bit sometimes needy, the ones who may require a little bit more of our time and energy, some of the ones who we may need to try to understand. It doesn't come easy or natural. The sentiment that's reflected in the, and then the summary, the nutshell version, my understanding of those two scriptures, the one from Mark is, love God and love others. The one from Matthew is love God by loving others, and putting those together, and just this is just the nutshell of a very basic understanding about a third way. The sentiment of this is reflected in the lyrics of a song in Sing the Story. And it says, how can I say that I love the Lord whom I've never ever seen before and forget to say that I love the one who I walk beside each and every day? How can I look upon your face and ignore God's love? I must embrace. You're my brother, you're my sister, and I love you with the love of my Lord. Peace is good for all humanity, not just us Mennonites or Christians. So it's natural for me to be able to incorporate peace and kindness and love into my programs at the Lion and Lamb Peace Art Center, which is on Bluffton's campus, which happens to be a Mennonite-based college. But also as I'm interacting with children and students and high school students and other adults who are in other places or come to me from the public schools, I can easily incorporate the message of love and peace into everything I do because peace is good for all of humanity. And so that is a foundation as I go along here. We sang the song, every act of kindness is an act of peace. It's pretty easy to help children recognize their attitudes and actions as it relates to that. I want to show you the logo for the Lion and Lamb here. And as you know, this doesn't come natural for lions and lambs, right? What would naturally be happening if this lion and lamb were together? The lamb would be dead, yeah. But before the lamb was dead, what would the lamb be doing? Trying to do? Running, yes. So this is not natural at all. In our story today, the dad and the daughter were walking out, interacting with people. Do you remember the two adjectives they said? Come with me, exactly. And they went brave and kind. So I like to think about this. The fact that the lion and lamb can actually get along means they're both doing something that doesn't come natural. Okay? So the lion has to be more kind. The lamb has to be more brave. And sometimes I like to think of myself as a lamb, but I realize that there's a lot of lion in me as well. And in order for me to interact with people in kind and appropriate ways, sometimes I have to be more kind, right? Because sometimes I can be pretty critical, judgmental, not forgiving, that kind of thing. So that reflects a little more about the lion. And sometimes I need to be more brave because there are opportunities for me to speak up or to step up and be available when there's injustice or there's someone in need of something that I have to offer. So I like to think of this as I assume that if I can see myself in both of these, perhaps you can as well. There are times when we need to do something that doesn't come natural. And I will admit to you that my first response in most situations of conflict is not kindness. I am so relieved sometimes when I realize that nobody has any idea what my first response is, if I can hold off and choose a better option. And so I don't know if that's you or if it's just me. But that's one of the things that I strive for. I fail often, but at least I strive for that peace. Actually, I do want to show you my t-shirt here because this is one of the visuals that also is the only visual that I have that shows what actually could come, what could happen naturally if the lion and lamb got together. Okay, it's not a pretty sight. If you have brothers and sisters or family or friends, this might represent relationships, right? Not just animals. Remember in our Sunday school class, we talked about animals being a good way to reflect about how the animals are acting and then, well, does it actually apply to us as well? We don't go around biting each other's heads off, literally, but we might come close sometimes, right? And so if we're thinking about making the world a better place, this can't happen. It can't be happening, and so the back of the t-shirt is a little bit more loving and kind. And I do remind kids they don't have to go around hugging everybody, because not everybody appreciates a good hug. But some people do. So hugs are a good way to show you care, but there's many, many, many other ways. So I'm going to lay the t-shirt up here with the kindness showing. So my mission statement at the Lion and Lamb Peace Art Center goes like this. Through all appropriate means, and I like to emphasize through all appropriate means, but especially through literature and the arts, the Lion and Lamb promotes a study of peace and justice, cultural understanding, and nonviolent responses to conflict. So when we think about peace at the Peace Center, we're not just talking about whether there's violence or not. And we're talking about really broad dimensions of peace. So like I did this morning with the picture book, like I did here with the song, as I'll refer later to the sculpture, and we have an outdoor sculpture garden, all of these things together in a blender helps us think about peace, our attitudes, our actions, our silence, those things as it relates to living in peace. So when we're talking about peace at the center, we start with peace in our hearts, peace in our minds, finding ways to process loss or grief, figuring out who we are and how we go on living our life. Then we think about how do we interact with other people around us, those we know, those we don't know, those who seem different from us. Then we think about the global community, all of us together, not some excluded, all of us as a global community. We think about creation care, taking care of the one and only planet Earth that we have. We think about recognizing the places in our world and in our society where there's a need for peace and justice, for recognizing it, for being aware, and then considering if we have the gifts or the tools to help fix those areas of injustice. Groups come to campus and visit the Lion and Lamb Peace Art Center. I do programs with children, middle school kids, high school kids, college students, adult groups. Sometimes I take my fun props like this and more and go out to public or private schools. I go to the Juvenile Detention Center in Lima. I go to a home for women in recovery from addictions. I go to a variety of other places, churches, organizations, to just share about peace from a perspective that many of us don't have the opportunity to think about often. Lawrence and I have taken props to all of the Mennonite USA conventions since 2005 because I've done programming with the preschool children through fifth graders at each of the children's conventions since then. Go to nursing homes. In the last couple weeks, I went to Marysville and did a program at the St. John's Lutheran School for children for K through eighth graders about accepting and appreciating diversity. I've done drumming for peace circles with second graders. I've done culture sessions with third graders. I created a session called What It's Like to Be Me, where I have guest speakers come in and share with the children about what they have to offer. And in many cases, it's people who seem to have differences. So for Martin Luther King Week, I had a woman come in who's a retired school administrator and an African-American woman who was a teenager at the time when Martin Luther King Jr. gave his speech in Washington after the march in 1963. And she was there as a 16-year-old to hear Martin Luther King Jr. Give his speech. And then she shares with the children what it was like for her when she would go from Chicago down to visit her relatives in the South, and about how things were segregated and how people were mistreated. And this week, for the fourth graders coming for that program, they'll hear from a gentleman who shares about living since he lost his eyesight. And so he's using his white cane as he walks along. Children know that he can't see, but to hear his story and understand that he can still do things. I saw him walking out of a local restaurant carrying a bicycle helmet, trying to put it on as he was coming out the door, and I'm thinking, I ride bicycle, and I'm not sure how he's going to do that if he can't see where he's going. And right behind him was another gentleman getting ready to put on his bicycle helmet, and I watched, and they hopped on a bicycle for two. So there you go. Blind people can ride bicycles, because it's not just about one thing. I think, Russ, you talked this morning, we're not just one thing. So he is very capable of riding a bicycle, and it's amazing to help children, to help open their eyes and to the possibilities, just like my eyes continually are opened. Even our conversation this morning in Sunday school, like some of you brought up thoughts I hadn't even thought about in relation to that story. So I think the benefit of all of this is being open-minded and being able to share where we're coming from, the questions, the wondering, the doubts that goes with all of this process. And one of the challenges with me always, like my work and my life, I'm always noticing places where, I'm noticing the messiness of our world and noticing places where somebody ought to do something, right? And so I like to use Mother Teresa's words for me as a reminder, as well as for the rest of you. If you can't feed 100, feed one. So these are some of the things that I do in response to the messiness in the world that I can't fix, but I can help. I can't prevent war, but I can provide MCC school kits for children in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Syria, and build relationships with international students from countries ravaged by violence and U.S. military involvement. I can't stop gun violence, but Lawrence and I marched with the people of Chicago in solidarity with their concern about gun violence on their streets and in their neighborhoods. I can't eliminate temptations for the teenagers in Lima, but when they find themselves incarcerated, I can speak into their lives with literature and art and projects to help them think about life differently. I can't eliminate racism and fix broken systems that perpetuate injustice, but I can introduce my friends with darker skin to children and create opportunities for them to share their stories. I can't eliminate opioids and other addictive drugs, but I can visit the women in a recovery home, listen to their stories, help them be creative with projects, speak into their lives that they are loved. I can't stop natural disasters, but I can join Lawrence and the Mennonite Disaster Service efforts to rebuild homes and restore lives and hope. I can't remove walls on the borders, but I can make friends with Palestinians and support students and families without documentation. I can't take the place of their mothers, but I can provide a sense of hospitality and a sense of family for international students who are far from home and families. I can do things right here, right now, for the sake of others. And you can too. I tell children, start with a smile. You heard that part this morning, right? Start with a smile and then build on to that. It's not always comfortable, but I like to say, get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And you, in your work, wherever you find yourself, show kindness and respect. Listen and validate the situations where others find themselves. You don't have to fix everything. Sometimes listening and validating the concerns that others had is a way of helping to fix, helping to help them move the next step. I want to use this sculpture here. This is a small version of a larger model that Bluffton University put out in the middle of College Avenue. It's huge. And just put it right out there in the street for God and everybody to look at. And at first when they put this out there, I'll have to admit I was a bit unsettled, not because I have a problem with the sculpture, but because I like to avoid controversy. I don't like conflict. So, when you put things out there, it could create conflict. So, from your perspective, if you would just shout out some of the things you notice. This is constellation Earth. What do you notice? It is made out of people. Very good point. You're observant. What else? Yes, they are. You are very observant. Thanks. What else? Holding hands. Yep. And feet. Looks like they don't have clothes on. They are dependent on each other. Yes, good point. Nobody has their feet on the ground. Yes. Yes, you have a good view of the inside because if you look through the sculpture at the solid masses, you can see sea life in there. This represents the oceans. And they're all naked. And you notice they're naked, yes. Anything else you notice? You've noticed all the basic things. Let me just give you a little bit of a glimpse. Yes. These people, when we think about constellations, we usually think about stars in the sky kind of forming something that looks like something else, and not all of us have to agree what that something else looks like, but that's the idea, kind of like a dot-to-dot connecting things. So this sculpture has seven bodies representing the seven continents, and they're all interconnected in ways that the continents really aren't. And their connections, just as was noted here, we are interconnected. What I do affects other people, and I'm affected by actions of others as well. So there's that interconnectedness. There's the solid bodies here, which represent oceans. That is not included in the larger sculpture on campus, but this represents the oceans, taking care of the earth and all. And then, as we noticed, they don't have clothes on. And it's a reminder that we're all very much alike, right? At our very core, we're very much alike. However, if you look at the other piece of art that I have over here, it's called What If. So when you look at What If, do you notice the similarities or the differences? What do you notice on this? Differences. So on this one, we notice similarities. On this one, we notice differences. When we notice differences, sometimes we start to separate ourselves from us and them. So on this sculpture, there's no ethnicity. No language, no culture, no politics, no religion, no sexual identity, nothing. It's just us all together. When we look at this, we start noticing the differences, and depending on your mindset, differences may be a problem or not. So the differences we notice here are related to religion, ethnicity, age, gender, culture, religion, right? And so thinking about this constellation Earth, this is all of us together, no exceptions. And sometimes churches in the past or even currently make exceptions about who's included or who can be included in this particular way. I like to say all of us are in. And it has taken me a while to be able to do that when I was raised with an understanding that women can't be pastors. I'm done with that. I was raised to think that there could be people excluded because of their sexual orientation. I'm done with that. No exceptions. It's all of us together. Now, I'll have to admit, in my angry and disgusted moments, there are people that I would like to kick out of my global community. The people that mess up the justice and the peace and the love and all the things that I value in my global community. There are people that don't seem to fit and who seem to be hurting my global community in ways that are harming others. And then I'm reminded again, Richard Rohr mentioned it. Jesus' non-negotiables include forgiveness and loving enemies. And I don't usually have an enemy list, but when I get angry and disgusted, I start creating one, and I'm reminded. Even Jesus said, if you have enemies, you gotta love them, right? So, I will admit that in my weaker moments, I'm there. I don't want to be there because when I hate, when I don't forgive, when I'm disgusted, it's not hurting the ones I'm hating or disgusted against. It's hurting me. And it was just this morning when I was realizing on our way down that I think, I don't want to put words in Jesus' mouth, okay? But if you know anything about taking care of yourself, your own mental health, your own wellness, you can't be hating people because the hate eats away at your own heart. When I get disgusted and angry, it eats away at my insides. It doesn't eat away at anybody else's. So for a healthy me, I need to remember Jesus' words when he says, if you have enemies, you gotta love them. Okay, just my confession for the day, okay? And here's a reminder from our Sunday school lesson. Remember one of our readers mentioned this morning the lesson from the seventh story when Corey said, this is the truth. There is no them. We are all part of one great, big, beautiful, wonderful us. We can all choose to be part of a healing story, the story of love. The story can set us free. This story can lead to a happy ending for everyone. So did you notice the word choose? Okay. I get to choose for me. I can't choose for you. And you can't. You don't get to choose for me. I get to choose. So, I'll carry on choosing to do my little things the best that I can do and be, right where I am. I choose to be an instrument of God's peace and hope. I choose to be a light in the darkness. I choose to be a force for good, sometimes failing to practice what I preach. And I said, I don't preach. This is just me talking. Falling short of how I want to respond, but getting up and trying again and again and again. Together, the lion and lamb and Jesus in me will love God by loving others, and in so doing, make the world a better place here and now, helping God's kingdom to grow on earth. And I'll close with the prayer song of St. Francis of Assisi. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let your love increase. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Walls of pride and prejudice shall cease when we are your instruments of peace. Thank you.